Hi, I'm Diane Chandler.
And I'm Perry Jones Grossman.
And this is Own Your Throne.
Through the show, you will meet inspiring women who have recreated and redefined what it really means to thrive and age gracefully.
Our guests are some of the most inspiring women on the planet. We were honored to sit down with each of them and get real about their journeys and what it took for them to truly
own their throne.
Hi, everyone. I'm Perry Jones Grossman, and welcome to Own Your Throne. And along with me on this show is my partner and friend, Diane Chandler. And today we're very excited about a special guest. Her name is Susan Feldman, and she's a co-founder of One Kings Lane, which is a luxury home decor company. And she's going to be telling us a story about how she's reinvented her life and how she's reinvented many, many businesses. So we're very excited to have you on the show, Susan. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
So I was curious about this because you were in corporate America before. Weren't you an executive at Macy's and
yes,
some other?
I was an executive at sales and marketing for fashion apparel companies for really the bulk of my career.
Okay. And then at 53 years old, you decided, okay, I want to become an entrepreneur and start a whole new company.
I was at a little bit of a crossroads in my career. You know, I had worked, like I said, for, you know, a number of years in the fashion apparel business. The business had changed a lot. I wasn't finding it as rewarding as I had when I first started. So I was really at this point in my life where it's like, do I just, like, you know, stop working or do I do something else? And in the meantime, I had this idea for One Kings Lane that I had been marinating actually for a year. And so I got to this point where I felt like I had to make a decision to do something. And my husband, who, you know, I tell the story all the time, I give a lot of credit to for pushing me in the pool, because he's like, you know, I think if you think this is a good idea, like, go do it. What's the worst thing that could happen? Right. And if you're not going to do it, please stop talking about it.
That's awesome advice.
Which was actually really good. Yeah, it was really good advice. Yeah. And I'm like, you're right. What is the worst thing that could possibly happen? I'm going to go do this. And I think, you know, there's a little bit of ignorance is bliss at that point. So, you know, I didn't say, okay, see, I'm 53. It's time to be an entrepreneur. I just said, I have this idea. It was really born out of, you know, like necessity is the mother of invention. We had moved to Los Angeles. We bought a house. It was the first time I'd been in a house since I really left my parents' home to go to college, because I lived in apartments my entire adult life. I lived in Manhattan, and I became a lunatic, you know, decorating, entertaining, like, you know, everything about my life became my home. And I was really frustrated at what was available online, especially when it came to finding kind of unique, interesting pieces. Yeah. And so I saw a big white space, and I didn't see anybody doing anything about it. So I said, why not me?
Sure. Which is fabulous, because I have a couple pieces in my own home from
Yes.
Well,
I've
done a lot of shopping on their website.
Yeah. You know, it's awesome. Thank you.
Well, and how did you, I mean, so a lot of women that are watching the show right now are sitting there thinking, okay, in our 50s, we're kind of thinking we want to sit back and relax and retire a little bit, and maybe their dreams haven't come true and they've forgotten about them. Mm-hmm. What is it inside of you that you would say to other women that, you know, you said you had your husband help you push you in the pool.
Yeah.
But what was the inner thing inside of you that made you go out and believe you could do something?
Well, I mean, I have to say, I didn't ever think about my age, really.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. Like, I just never thought, oh, I'm too old or too young or whatever. I just had this idea, something that I thought would be really cool to, you know, it was a vision I had. And I thought if I could go build this, it would be a really cool thing. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I think if somebody's 50 and they decide they don't want to work, that's okay, too. But it still doesn't mean it's the end of life, you know.
It's whatever your choice is.
Yeah, I think different strokes for different folks. Like, I think there's a lot of people that could be very happy at 50 saying, you know, I'm going to go pursue other passions. It may not be a business.
Yeah.
For me, this happened to be my path. And it was kind of amazing to have a vision of something and actually go out and create and build it and, you know, see that vision come to life.
And I also think it's really imperative, like what you were saying with your husband, you have to have that support of somebody
so,
who's like,
so important.
Like, get off the fence, do it or don't do it. Right?
I mean,
because how many times do we have ideas and how many times do we think, oh, this would be a great idea? And then, you know, you don't take action on it. So I think that's a huge piece.
I don't think you can underestimate the importance of having a support system around you when you do this, because for sure, if you do decide to go start a business, you will be bumping up against naysayers, like, you know, every other step of the way. And so having a support system around you who believes in what you're doing and is there to sort of help, you know, push you along, I think is like super important. Mm-hmm. And it also, it's really time consuming. So you need the sort of understanding of, you know, your beloved, you know, your beloved ones.
You know, he's got your back.
Those that are near and dear to you.
And the days when, like, he's like, where are you, honey? You're like, you told me to go for
That's
it.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really experienced this. Like, my friends at first didn't understand, like, what the heck was happening. Like, where are you? Why aren't you available? Why can't you, you know, go out for whatever? I'm like, I'm working. I've got this business that I'm building, and it's going crazy. You know, and they didn't really understand it until I think we started getting some publicity. And then they're like, oh, now I get what
you're
doing.
Well, it was a passion for you, too.
And it was very much a passion.
You know, sometimes we get lost, and we want to create something, and we'll want to copy something out. Well, what's the in thing or the trend-setting thing? Instead of what's really right within us. Yeah. I mean, it's something that we feel passionate about, like you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think people can do that. I mean, for me, really throughout my entire career, it's always been about something that I see as an opportunity or a white space or something that I'm passionate about or a need or something like that.
Do you have like a strong sense of intuition?
I do.
Do you follow? Yeah, I get that from you. Like there is this something that's telling you, yes, I can.
It's funny though, because I do feel like I have a really strong sense of intuition, and I think sometimes along this journey, I didn't listen to it as well as I should have. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think actually through the One Kings Land experience, I think I've really have gotten so much better at listening to it and trusting it. I think it's more about that. Like, you believe that in something and then actually going and acting on it and saying, aha, I was right. That was the right, you know, like feeling that I
think
had.
Well, you had an interesting background though, because I don't know if you knew this or not. I found really interesting, because you and I did this as well. But you went to Stanford, but you didn't study, you know, business. No. I mean, you studied philosophy.
Psychology.
Yeah. So how has that helped you with, you're talking about your intuition, talking about dealing with people and in this industry, how much of that has really helped you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that was back in the dark ages that I was there. Just kidding. But I mean, I think at the time that I went to college, you know, and getting an undergraduate liberal arts degree, it's really more about how you approach life, how you look at a problem, how you solve a problem. And, you know, you pick a major not because, well, I mean, some people did. That was the path they pursued. Yeah. But, you know, I think it becomes something that is more, you become a little bit more knowledgeable in it. And at one point, I actually was considering going into working with children. So that was where I had started, you know, that psychology degree. But I think it actually was really helpful along the way. It's just, you know, you cannot be in business without knowing how to work with people. So that definitely comes in handy.
Right. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about what you're doing now, because I found this. I was so excited when we got your name from a friend of ours. And In the Groove, the trend-setting newsletter, would you say? Or is it?
We do have a newsletter, but, you know, it's really, I think of it as like an online destination for, we call it age-defined women. So it's called getinthegroove.com. Mm-hmm. And it's really a place where women can go and, you know, find out kind of fun things, things that maybe would be make them feel better, look better, learn things that maybe we think that would be helpful to them in their lives. What had happened was I found there really wasn't a go-to destination that I felt was speaking to me as a woman who was, well, actually 60 plus, but 50 plus.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand that. So it seemed to me like this was potentially an opportunity, because I kept talking to women who were kind of looking for a place to go and a place where they could get information and learn about things. And and also a place that spoke to them in a way that wasn't speaking down to them or speaking to them as if they were 25 years old.
Well, it's almost like at a certain age, I know for me even, it's something I've had to work on too, is not feeling invisible.
Oh,
and I think women at a certain age, we start feeling like, okay, you know, marketing is not paying attention to us. Media is not. And excuse me, we're the ones with the money and the spending power.
Yes.
So that's what I appreciated about In the Groove.
Well, this is exactly what happened. This was the aha moment that I had with Get in the Groove, which is, as we were selling One King's Land, because we sold it about 3.5 years ago, I started talking to a lot of my friends and colleagues. And this word invisibility, I couldn't believe. I was like, what is going on? Everybody was like, I feel invisible. I feel irrelevant. And I couldn't really understand that, because I wasn't feeling that way. I think One King's Land kind of protected me from that feeling, because I was, you know, working with lots of younger people, and I was really kind of in the throes of, you know, what was happening digitally. It was, you know, it was all really good stuff. So I couldn't understand what this was that was happening. And that was when I thought, well, who's speaking to women that are feeling like this and talking to them? And, you know, at, when I started going online, I said, okay, well, there's AARP, which is an amazing organization and does a terrific job, but certainly didn't speak to me, you know. I mean, my mother's 90. She loves AARP, you know. And, and like I said, it's a great organization, so I'm not here to, like, say anything. And then sort of at the other end of the spectrum, there were was really sort of a very fragmented sea of bloggers. And, you know, I think women that were feeling frustrated also. And so they, what they did is they took to, you know, creating a blog or, you know, showing what they were wearing or whatever. But nobody had built this kind of a brand.
That really spoke
to this consumer. And it, you know, here are all these women, to your point. So when I started digging into it, is a huge demographic. We own over 70% of the wealth in this country. And when you say we're shoppers, we are super consumers. We spend 250% more than any other demographic out there. And I'm like, I think
my credit cards show that.
You know, it's really an interesting thing, because you said I was hearing all these women feel they're invisible, and from the work that I do as a coach, you know, Perry, we work with a lot of women. And that was the conversation that was coming up again and again. Women that were going through a divorce, or their children were leaving, or they were just aging, or they were really having a hard time with that. And really, that's one of the reasons we started this show, was to change the conversation around aging, around your value and how women see themselves based on the media, based on whatever that is.
And getting rid of the stigma.
I mean,
why is there such stigma to that?
We're talking this.
Same language.
My goal. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm making recommendations and curating, but my big goal really is really to change this conversation around ageism. And, you know, hopefully help women be better informed so that they can be part of the conversation. Because, you know, my belief is that when, if you just use 50 as an arbitrary number, and you probably see this in your practice, I mean, this is a really intense time period for a woman. I mean, it probably is for a man too, but I can speak only for a woman.
For my own experience.
Well, and also a lot of women I've spoken to. So you're physically, you go through menopause sometime around there, which is like, I mean, that is a whole other, you know, conversation.
That's another show.
That is definitely another show. And I mean, it's just, nobody was really talking about it. So, you know, you start to go through this and you kind of think, I'm going crazy. And nobody's talking about it. So you think, I definitely am going crazy.
But you're, and I'm alone.
And I'm alone, but you're really not. So that was, you know, that's one thing. You are, if you're working professionally, you're on, you know, potentially on the verge of being aged out at that point. If you have children, this is a time often that your kids are leaving the nest. So you become an empty nester, and now you're looking at somebody and you're like, I've been living with you for 20 years and who are you again? You know, so you're like on an emotional level. So there's just like a lot going on. And you know, I sort of talk about it as like a tunnel that you almost have to get through. And some women, when they get to the other side, they don't feel really that great, you know.
They don't.
And they sort of, unfortunately, I think sometimes have, you know, thrown in the towel a little bit. And it doesn't have to be like that. And that's one of the things that hopefully we're trying to help with.
What would you say would be, I mean, because, you know, Di and I were talking about this before the show, too, is women who've worked early on, and then they become mothers, and then there's women who have become mothers really young and then worked later. So if you're in between one of those things, what do you think would be the best piece of advice from your experience to say to women? How do they change that paradigm? How do they find that that ignition, if you will, to jumpstart?
You know, I don't think it makes a difference who you are, you know, or what you've done or you haven't done. I think at the end of the day, if you're going to stay relevant, especially in this world today, you must be curious and you have to keep learning. Like, it doesn't, it just doesn't, I mean, for anybody, because we're in a really dynamic time right now. Like, what was, what you knew a month ago could be different, like today, you know?
Completely.
And if you're not on top of it, you all of a sudden you start to become uninformed, and now you can't be part of the conversation because you don't even understand what people are talking about. And like, the further you get away from that, I think the worse it becomes. Yeah. So
I think that piece of advice that you just gave there, it's in my head ringing right now, the word curious.
Yeah.
I think that is a massive,
yeah,
but to me, I mean, that just shifted something inside of me, because the curiosity is what keeps you relevant. It keeps you learning. It keeps you interested and growing.
Yeah.
Well, it's like we were saying earlier when we were getting our makeup done and stuff, and you were saying, you know, when you embarked on these new businesses, you started learning some new things, technology. Totally. And I know when we went back to school in our 50s, you know, to get our master's, we were like, okay, how does this computer work? And how do we do a folder? And we're talking to millennials. But it strengthened us and it opened us up to, you know, other possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one thing, just if anyone has the opportunity, I found to be amazing. I have a woman that works with me now for Get in the Groove, and she's 26, 27 now. So I love this idea that we, you know, it's this exchange of information. Like, you know, she's learning from me and I'm learning from her.
Exactly.
And we sit next to each other, you know, every day. Mm. And it's like this bridging the gap. It's like fantastic, because there, you know, I'll say to her, like, what is, you know, what?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, that's, you know.
Yeah.
We were laughing the other day because we were doing an email and she said something. We were talking about a high-low, you know, example of something. This is the expensive version of the list. So we're trying to come up with a clever way. She goes, well, what about dupe? I'm like, dupe? No, I don't think that this woman knows what you're talking about. You know?
What is dupe? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, it's basically that. It's like a duplicate of something.
So funny. Right, so. But it's true. I mean, we hold the, we're the wisdom keepers. You know, as women age, you have more life experience. You have more wisdom, and how beautiful to be able to impart that into, onto your young associate, and then she can share all the new.
And it's, you know, different when it's like, I mean, you know, if you have children, like I have kids that could probably be helpful if they wanted to, but it's, a, you know, that dynamic's very different, right? They're like, oh, mom, why are you asking me this question, you know, versus somebody that you're working with or even you're their intern, whatever it is, they're, you know, it's a different relationship, and you can get, I think, a lot of good information that way.
Yeah. We hired very young girls to help
us.
We got
corrected because with our millennial team, they were like, because we kept saying this show is for women over 40, you know, particularly, and our 20-year-olds would come in, will you stop saying that? Because we want to listen and learn what's to come.
Well,
and we forget that we're mentors.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we have all this great life experience from our ages. It's like, why not be able to use that and utilize that in some way?
But I think that's a very real thing that's happening right now. Like, we see that in our demographics also, whether it's on, you know, especially on Instagram, we have a like a double digit, you know, a percentage, like I think it's 25 or 30% people that fall under 30% that are following our Instagram account. Because I think they say, you guys are cool. And you're funny, and we want to like sort of understand, like, as we're on this journey, like, you know, how do we get there? And I found it even really more interesting. There's a website called Who What Where that's been around for a while. They're great, but they definitely cater to millennials, and they've been running features on older women, and like it's something that I've been, you know, doing with them, and it's been really fun. And they said their readers love this. They love seeing what, you know, what is the 64-year-old woman buying at Zara?
It's so good, but I love that. And you know, like, what's so cute about all this is I think that it is changing the conversation, because it can start, it starts there, and they're not so scared to get older. They're like, oh, this is cool. Okay. You know, and it's that constant reinvention and looking forward to that instead of dreading this.
They're saying, wow, like you've had a career, you've raised a family, you seem like you're, you know, pretty together. Yeah. Like, how do you do that? You know, because I'm trying to figure that out.
Which is important too.
Yeah.
How do you find all your information, the cool tidbits? I mean, I've been looking at your website and loving it. And particularly some of the products, which I won't mention, but there's some really great products out there.
Well,
we'll talk later. But how do you find what some of the new upcoming trends are? I mean, who is your group that does that, or does it come to you?
It's, you know what, we are just constantly scouring and, you know, observing and, you know, sort of, I think to your point, maybe that is a little bit of that intuition. Like sometimes I can, I don't want to say see things, but I see something, I'm like, that's cool. Like, you know, that's going to be something. And we sort of start to follow along, you know, on that trend. Like we were talking about the layered necklaces as an example. Yeah. Like we've been following that for a while now. And it definitely is like, you know, a trend that's happening now. But, you know, I saw it. I loved it. It was like something that got me excited. And so I feel like then we bring it to our audience. And, you know, sometimes it's a little too early and sometimes it's not, you know. And then we'll bring it back again. We'll keep pushing it, you know. If it's too early, we'll just keep bringing it back, especially if it's, you know, something that is becoming a trend. But we're constantly I mean, I'm literally on, you know, the computer all the time. And also just when you walk around, what you're seeing, like just being observant, you know, what's happening.
I love that.
So what has your experience, well, I think I can answer this, but what has your experience been of getting older?
It's been awesome.
Yay! I know, I get that from you.
You see the big smile celebration.
I do, I get that.
It's like a privilege, right? I think I've really like come to believe it. Now, this is not to say that I don't wake up every morning to see what's hurting. I'm like, wait, what's hurting today? You know, and you know, and I've had my knee replaced. I mean, so like, there are things that, you know, unfortunately do come along with that. But I think there's a lot of things that you can do that will make you feel better and keep you in good shape and, you know.
What is a daily practice, or do you have a spiritual practice or some kind of a, you know, when you have some challenging days, what is it that helps you get through that day?
I take to my bed. No, I'm
Right, sleep.
Sleep. Sleep does help sometimes. I don't think it's anything daily. I do exercise pretty much every day. I've found that for me really in the last 20-something years, that's made a big difference in my life. When I'm not doing that, I can really feel it. And it's, I'm not like a crazy person, but, you know, I've found things that work for me, and I'm very much, like, into doing them. And when I don't do them, it's like
you can feel the difference.
Yeah, I could totally feel the difference.
But you have a super joyful spirit. Like, you have a lot of joy. Have you always been like that?
I think so. And I do think, you know, and later in life, I mean, I was divorced and remarried, and I feel, you know, so fortunate that I met literally the love of my life. And I think that makes a big difference, you know, in sort of how you feel and, you know, how things, you know, are around you. And that's being in healthy relationships is a good thing. And and getting out of unhealthy ones is also a good thing.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, listen, that's scary, you know.
It's so scary. But it's also learning how to love yourself. Did you find that too? You know, we pick relationships that really represented how we felt about ourselves inside.
Oh my God, I think that's so true. And I feel like, you know, the time that I had from when I did get divorced to the time that I met Bob, I was like really okay being by myself.
Yes.
You know, and I think it was a time for like to sort of understand, you know, me.
Yeah.
But also focus. My kids were, you know, much younger at that time, and I had a very much full time career, so there wasn't a lot like left, honestly.
Right.
You know, a lot. So your priorities shift at different times of your life.
Right.
I have started journaling.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's hard. And it's like something I don't like to do, so it's something that I really have to push myself to do. But I'm enjoying it, you know.
You know, it brings back a memory. There's this one tool that we learned at school. It's called freeform writing, and something I use with my clients too. So what we learned is if you have negative stuff, the emotional negative toxicity you need to get out, you use a legal pad, not a journal, but a legal pad, where you just write. Don't worry about pronunciation, spelling.
Right.
You know, just get it out.
Yeah,
and then take it and burn it. And then you have your journal part where you write the positive things, you know, and what's really been working for you. And that's helped me, because I'll tell you what I did. I had journals of all kinds of toxic crap, you know.
Like She loves to write.
You know, and I went into the basement of my house, literally, and I took each one of those journals that were full of, you know, and I know it's my past. Some people want to hang on to it, but I didn't. and I put them in a fireplace. And I just burned the heck out of it.
It felt so good.
It felt, yes. Susan, I felt like I lost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, and then I kept my happy journals
and
there.
And then, you know, one of the things too that our teachers were sharing with us, and it really made sense, is that as you're dumping out all the stuff, yeah. as you're free, you don't want to rewrite, you don't want to read it again because you're putting it right back into your subconscious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're dumping it.
That's
because
really
a lot of times you don't even really know. It doesn't matter what you're writing or what's coming out. It doesn't even have to make sense.
Yeah.
And then as you do it, and then you either throw it away or burn it.
Well, I think actually, you know, you have to go through all that to get into a healthy relationship,
yes,
right? So you have to feel really good about yourself and where you're at,
you have to.
Before you can. And I think that is actually, I mean, besides the fact that we have, you know, Bob and I think have a great relationship, I think we wouldn't be here or there. We wouldn't have been there if I hadn't taken the time to be a little bit by myself.
Have you always known who you are?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure I even know today.
No, we're work in progress, you know, but you have such confidence, Susan, and such, you're so inspirational and stuff.
Thank you.
And I'm just thinking about, you know, some people that maybe don't have that or they grow into it. So I was curious if that was always part of who you are.
You know, we were talking about this earlier. I moved a lot growing up. So I think that sort of was, if there was a benefit to that, it was like I needed to learn to feel confident about myself to walk into new situations. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, I think that's always been, I've always had to do that all my life.
Yeah.
But I think knowing who you are is, I mean, that's an ongoing journey. I mean, today I'm sitting here, you know, like I have a whole new thing that I'm doing, but I'm still trying to figure out and find new balances in my life. And, you know, what is it that I want? Yeah. Like if one more person says it to me, I'm not going to.
Okay. So, the opposite, what are you insecure about?
Oh my God. Can I lay down on that couch?
Yeah. Like what is on that? Like, what do you fear? Like what? Okay. We'll make it less. She goes, isn't that what Candace said this? Candace goes, should I leave you guys money for therapy today? But what do you fear? Like, is there something that you're afraid of? I think that would be a bigger question. And how do you face your fears?
You know, I'm a little bit afraid of stopping, you know, it's like, what does that feel like? Because I've never stopped.
That's good.
You know, like I've worked my entire, I've always worked. I've had purpose through my career. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I had this great thing with One King's Land. Can I do something else? Mm-hmm. And if I don't do something else, then what is
then
that?
What?
Then what? Like, I didn't even know what that means. Like, I wouldn't even know what to do, like, when I got up in the morning. I'd have to really think and figure it out. And I have started trying new things. Like, I've started, you know, it sounds so cliche. Like, I started taking piano lessons.
I love that. It's never too late to learn something new.
Yeah, though. I think that's really important anyway. But, you know, I've started to try to, I guess, cultivate some new interests, which I think are also important. So whether it's piano, which I'm, you know, obviously just beginning, or I've taken some pottery classes. For me, I need some sort of creative outlet. I definitely...
Is it grounding for you?
It's very much. I really need that. And that's, you know, super important to me. You know, athletically, like really into playing golf, you know, so I'm trying to like sort of, I haven't had time. And that's one of the, you know, you ask like, what is it like aging? I mean, this is an opportunity to do all those kind of things that you never had time to do.
Yeah.
That you thought, oh, that'd be fun to do. I think I might like that.
Right. It's creativity.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's an aspect that we forget as we do get older. We put all our creativity into our kids or other jobs or other lives. Mm-hmm. That it's like, now it's time for us.
Let it go.
And it's right. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, okay, well, what do I want? Who am I?
Yeah.
Asking the question, what do I want now?
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's finding a way to push yourself too, you know, and it's on different levels, whether it's like, I mean, I laugh. It's like, you know, I'm obsessed with Pilates. And I, you know, my
teacher. Well, it's working.
It's working.
But my teacher who I love, like when I first went to her because I'd had my knee replaced, she was like very tentative with me. And now she's like, well, you know, back bend, sure, let's do it. Like, and I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know, and I do it and I'm like, I just did that. That's like unbelievable, you know? And I think having those little positive reinforcements in your life are like super important also.
The creativity piece is fantastic because I think that is such a key to growing older in a really beautiful way.
I do too. Well, I mean, I can tell you, I was, you know, my mentors was my father. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he set the bar very high. So he was a retailer, you know, kind of in my blood.
In your blood, for sure.
And then he was retired at 65, and he took his knowledge of that and went and became very successful in commercial real estate. Yeah. And at 75, he decided, I think I will want to get my MFA. Wow. And so he went back to school to build his portfolio and applied to California College of Arts up in San mm-hmm. Francisco, because that's where they lived, and got his MFA at 80. And then he painted,
wow.
like,
80?
Yeah, 80.
That's
and
amazing.
He's still, to this day, I think, the oldest graduate of the program. And it was, like, amazing to watch your father at 80, cap and gown, you know, graduation, the whole thing. He was, like, the news sensation in the Bay Area yes. when this happened. Yeah. But it was like so amazing to watch and so inspirational. And then he painted, you know, he was very prolific for like, you know, the next probably 7 years. He passed away at 88. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like, wow.
Now I get why you are like yeah. you are.
Yes. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Now it's landing. Ding, ding, ding.
That's so fabulous.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, to have somebody like that as a yeah. role model is like, okay, wow, that's what that uh-huh. looks like. Somebody yeah. that's so curious and never, never stopped learning and reading mm-hmm. and asking questions and stuff. And, you know, honestly, this man's brain was like 100% there. It's just his body, you know.
Yeah. Because he kept learning, right?
Yeah.
So he kept it's building
yeah.
new.
Yeah.
And you keep building new neural pathways.
I mean, it's a thing in aging. It's just, you just can't yeah. say it enough.
Well, it goes back to what you're saying, being curious.
Yes.
Just always being curious. I want to go back to a question that I started to ask yeah. earlier. And that was, because you're such a positive person.
Oh, thank you.
And I think, you know, I've noticed this with women after a certain age. Instead of saying yes to life, they start saying no, or I can't.
Oh, no, right. or I can't.
And I think yes. really watching the power of your words.
That's another awesome thing about aging.
Yeah. yeah.
Especially, I think at 50, you start to feel that a little bit. At yeah. 60, you're just like, okay, like, you know
yeah.
what?
Game on.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, people ask you to do things and you're like, you know, thank you so much for considering me for that, but like, I don't have time, or that doesn't mm-hmm. really, you know, fit into sort of where my focus is now. Mm-hmm. Like you just don't feel badly about saying
yeah.
no.
Right.
And I think as women, we are such pleasers,
yes.
you know, and that I think we like I know I was, and yeah. like, you know, it's really kind of like liberating to be able to yes. to actually say, no, I'm so sorry, but I can't do that. You
it's
know?
An act of self-love.
Exactly.
You know,
it
is. But you also say yes to you
yeah.
now.
I do.
You
I
know,
do.
And that I hear that in your vocabulary.
But I also, you know, I had a really interesting experience when I started One Kings Lane. I really wanted to find a business partner. And my husband introduced me to this woman, Lisa Stone. She started a company called blogher.com, and she's doing some other things now. But I didn't know this woman from, you know, Adam. And she's told my husband, sure, have her call me. I think this idea is really interesting. And I called her. And the first thing this she said to me is, how can I help you?
Mm.
And I was just like, wow, that was really, I mean, I will never forget that. And so to this day, I mean, I really do try to, you know, when, especially women, you know, younger women call and they want to talk about stuff, I'm always happy to find time to do that. Because, like, we have to, right?
Well,
we have to
that,
pay it forward.
Yes, I
right.
so agree
yeah.
with you on that.
But that was, like, that was very, for me, that was profound, because I grew up in an industry where I couldn't even possibly imagine anybody ever saying something like that to me.
Like, and that takes us into competition.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How I feel like things have changed a lot with women in general.
Not enough.
And yeah, and there is a sisterhood or a queendom, yeah. we call it, or
yeah.
whatever that looks like. And you're seeing it everywhere where women are helping other women.
Yeah, lifting them up.
Really lifting
yeah.
each other
yeah.
up. And, I
and
think
our daughters are watching us.
Yeah, and
you know?
Our daughters are that way. I do
they
find
are.
The younger generation of girls to be very sisterly and
much more.
Really supportive
yeah.
of one another.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
yeah.
think that's an innate feminine quality that we all have that's so beautiful.
Yeah,
true.
So it's
true.
You know, finding that balance is so okay to say no.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when people come knocking and you can really do something about it or make a connection. Like, I'm really fast to do that when I'm with people. You know, it's like, oh, I know that person. I'll see if they're happy to talk to you. Let me make that connection. And, you know, because I'm fortunate that I've been connected to all these people or somehow shared that. And if it makes sense, you know, then
Well, I'm so glad you said yes to us.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a perfect example.
From another friend. So what would it mean? Di and I always like to ask this question at the end of the interview is, you know, we came up with a show name called Own Your Throne, which is really about being the queen of your life.
That's amazing.
If you're not sitting on the throne of your life, who is?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So what does that phrase or that title mean to you, to own your throne?
I mean, I think we kind of were just talking about that, right? Like, it's just being able to be... have an understanding of what it is that, you know, you have a passion for and that you want to, you know, go make happen. And I think, you know, along with that, it's finding the balance in your life for your family and your friends and everything else, which are so important. It's a composite, right? Mm-hmm. Of being owning your throne.
Yes.
So, and it does change. I mean, the way that you own that throne is going to look a lot different, you know, probably I'd just say each decade of your life. You know, I feel like my throne today looks really different than it did 10 years ago and 20 years ago.
It does. I'm not even sure I even knew I had a throne until I was later in life. I mean, truly, because we were talking about people pleasers or performance oriented to be loved, to be accepted and looking outside of myself. I really didn't learn that lesson, Susan, until I was older in life.
Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of us. I think that's part of the experience of aging, right? Is that as you gain more experience and you gain more confidence, you know, hopefully you sort of understand that you do have that and you have that as a power that you have.
Yeah.
So I would love to end with this question. What are you really excited about creating?
Yeah.
In the next chapter of your life.
I mean, I'm so excited about Get in the Groove because, you know, I think on the surface I'm making recommendations about clothing and beauty, and those are things that hopefully make people feel better. But, like, we have to change the conversation around ageism. It's a big problem. And I hope by doing this, like, it starts to shine a light on all these amazing women and start to change the conversation and wake up marketers and companies to realize that, like, they're doing a disservice to themselves by not speaking to us the right way and showing us the way we, you know, see ourselves, not sitting in a bathtub with some guy looking out on the ocean, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so, like, I really, like, I'm excited about changing that conversation and how do we do that? And along with that, helping women, you know, really feel better about themselves and aging. Like, I want women to own their age. I don't want to have a conversation with somebody where they're like, I don't really want to tell you my age. Mm-hmm. Why? Like, you know, own it. It's like awesome that you are that age, you know. I think they should be, you know, excited about it. And if they can't own their age, it's going to be harder to change the conversation.
Well, I am so inspired by you.
Oh, my goodness.
Definitely. Thank you. Such a beautiful conversation.
Thank you.
And we're so excited that we're all aligned and doing the same thing, because I think it's happening with other women around the world. You know, we're waking up and we're saying, okay, if we don't change it, who's going to do it?
Exactly. So, and, you know, I want to encourage this conversation, and hopefully through, like, what you're doing and what I'm doing, Get in the Groove, like, we'll hear from women. You know, I want them to speak up. Tell us what it is that they want. You know, I'm working on my intuition, you know, what I think they want to hear, but maybe there's a bunch of other things.
What subjects do they want to talk about? What are they thinking?
And struggling with.
Yeah, what are they struggling with? Yeah. What do they want to know more about? Mm-hmm. What is it that, you know, would be helpful to them to make them feel better? Yeah. So I think we start these conversations, then
keep them fired up.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Exactly.
Susan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to have you back for part two.
Okay. Let's do it.
Thanks so much for listening to Own Your Throne. We are so grateful to our guest, you, our audience, and everyone who's part of the tribe of Owning Your Throne.
We want to hear your feedback about the show. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of this episode. We'd love you to subscribe so that you can get every episode as soon as they drop.
Follow us on social media for behind-the-scenes sneak peeks and to keep the conversation going. Check out our YouTube channel for filmed interviews of Own Your Throne, and let us know about guests that you think would be amazing to interview on the show.
Lots of love, and remember,
it's time to own your throne.